And welcome to Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, one of my favorites, Teresa Avery, the Executive Director for Autism Delaware. Teresa, welcome back.
Hey, Laura, thanks for having me.
I always enjoy talking to you. You're a great guest, and you always have so much to talk about, too. And this is your month. April is Autism Awareness Month, and so here we are sitting down to talk about what's been going on lately. Is there any news you want to share? It's been about 6 to 8 months since we last talked to you.
Well, there's always so much going on in autism and in autism in Delaware. Of course, April, like you said, is Autism Awareness Month, so we're getting all revved up for all of our big events. We've got our Walk for Autism in Lewis on April 14th. The Walk for Autism in Wilmington on April 21st. Perhaps even more excitingly, at least for me, is April 19th is our Smart Cookie Day. Now, we're down in the Delaware legislature all the time working with legislators to help get the things that are needed to families and individuals with autism in our state. But Smart Cookie Day is our day every year when we really, really concentrate on getting lots of families out there. We go down to Legislative Hall, we meet with legislators, the Senate and the House and the Governor's Office read proclamations about it being Autism Awareness Month. We deliver wonderful cookies, and this year the cookies are actually going to be baked by Proof Bakers, which is an organization started by families here in Delaware, and it employs people with disabilities to make the cookies. We're going to be handing out their cookies, and then we're going to have a big reception at Frazier's in Dover in the evening. So that's one of my favorite days of the year.
So Cookie Day is important to anyone who is affected by autism. And do you want to give us the numbers right now? What are we looking at here in the state of Delaware as far as the numbers served, et cetera?
Sure.
Or the numbers that need services, I think, better.
Yeah.
Better
so autism is certainly something a lot of people have heard about nationally because of the incredible increase in the number of people affected. If we look at national averages, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, we've got an average of about one in every 68 children in the United States is identified with an autism spectrum disorder. And because it's five times more common in boys than in girls, that number is more like one in 40 when you just look at boys. Delaware is not immune from this trend. So if you look at our public school figures here in the state, in 1991, we had 152 students in our public schools with an educational classification of autism. Today, that's 2,109. And the really scary thing about that is that 2,109 only counts kids with an educational classification of autism in the public schools. So that doesn't include kids who are less severely affected, who have what we used to call Asperger syndrome, who are private schooled or homeschooled, and it doesn't account the many hundreds of adults who are affected by autism in our state. If I apply study data from 2014 to Delaware's census, I get a projection of about 10,000 people in our state who themselves have autism spectrum disorder.
And of course, when you talk about 10,000 people who have it themselves, you're talking about parents, siblings, grandparents, et cetera. And we're talking also about a lifetime of dealing with this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in public culture, we often want to talk about kids with autism because it's, you know, it's always great to talk about kids. And in fact, getting early diagnosis of a child with autism is absolutely key. Early intervention is key to improved outcomes over time. But the reality is that most people with autism will be affected by their autism to some degree throughout the entirety of their lives. So we need to think about residential services for individuals with autism. How do we support them as a culture once their parents are gone and no longer able to care for them? And then, of course, how do we provide great vocational opportunities for folks at all levels of the spectrum? We're really excited to do that through our Power Vocational Services program, and we work with more than 90 businesses across Delaware to provide vocational opportunities for adults with autism.
You alluded to adults, mm-hmm. and a lot of people do not get a diagnosis at all, do they? Or they get it for some other reason, and the classifications of autism has drastically changed since. You mentioned Asperger's mm-hmm. syndrome. terms that you don't use anymore, correct? How do you now measure the syndrome or the, how do you describe it?
So one of the things we talk about in autism is spectrum. So autism is autism spectrum disorder properly. That's the proper diagnosis. And that is a way of acknowledging that there is this wide spectrum of the way people are affected by autism. We say in the community that if you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism, because each person is entirely unique in their symptoms of autism, in how their autism affects them, and in how severe those effects will be. So you can meet someone with autism who you might not really even know that they have autism when you first meet them. And then you can meet someone with autism who's severely affected, who is nonverbal and has a great deal of difficulty with independence. Several years ago, we used to have people are probably familiar with a syndrome called Asperger's syndrome. And a few years ago, the APA, the American Psychological Association's diagnostic manual changed. So this is something we, you know, worry about. Doctors have to worry about people giving diagnosis, have to worry about. And so technically speaking, these days, Asperger's syndrome is not an official diagnosis. Today, it's autism spectrum disorder, and then the diagnosis has different levels of effect. When the doctor gives the diagnosis, they'll give a different level. Now, from a practical perspective, we in the community need a way to talk about the vast difference between someone who is mildly affected by their autism and may have more social emotional reciprocity issues or social functioning issues, and then someone who is really severely affected by their autism. So because of that, you will still often hear the term Asperger's or Asperger's-like applying to people who are somewhat less severely affected by their autism.
But obviously, you need some kind of a commonality between everyone on that spectrum to make it an actual diagnosis. So what is autism?
So autism, according to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of the American Psychiatric Association, is a disability. And first off, it's a developmental disability. And that's really important because it means it's going to occur in the first 3 years of life. So even though people sometimes might not get diagnosed until they're older, it is something they're going to have gotten in those first 3 years, and it is not something that is catching. It's not a communicable disease. You know, you cannot, if your kid plays with another kid with autism, they're not going to catch the autism. You can't suddenly develop autism at 20 years of age, okay? So that's the first and most important thing. It's a developmental disability. Everyone with autism is going to have some symptoms in two big bucket areas. One is social communication. But this, again, it can be extremely wide-ranging what the symptoms can be for each individual. Some individuals may have trouble making eye contact. They may have trouble reading nonverbal expressions. They may not be able to talk at all, or they may talk way, way, way too much. It just depends on the individual. And this can really affect, so if you take someone who's more of an Asperger's syndrome type, this part of their affect from autism may be mild, but it may get in the way of their ability to make and keep friends, and then their ability to understand the unwritten rules of the workplace that can be so important to all of us keeping jobs. So that's the first big bucket of symptoms. The second big bucket of symptoms is restricted, repetitive patterns of behavior. And again, there's a huge, wide range of things that that can mean. It can mean something we call echolalia, which is where people repeat the same thing again and again and again. It can mean behaviors that you might have heard called stimming. That would be sort of flapping or rocking or doing the same physical behavior again and again and again. It can mean having a fixated interest, which is very common for a lot of folks with autism. I like to tell the story of my friend Dan, who is an individual with autism. He's an awesome guy, and he really, really, really loves Pepsi. Pepsi is very important to Dan, and he's put a lot of effort into his support of Pepsi over the years. And the first time I met Dan, I was drinking a Coke. The beginnings of our relationship did not go so well because Pepsi is very important to Dan. So those are just some of the ways that restricted patterns of behavior can show up in the lives of individuals with autism. And those are the two big buckets. Now, one of the things that people typically associate with individuals with autism is sensory processing disorder, okay? And this is where some people with autism may not like to be touched, or they may love to touch, or they may not like bright lights or loud sounds. It's important to know that a lot of people with autism do have sensory processing disorder, but not everyone. It's not required for an autism diagnosis. The other thing about that is sensory processing issues can be sensory avoiding, meaning you don't like loud, it can be painful to have a loud noise or to be touched, but they can also be sensory seeking. So we have folks with autism who have sensory processing disorder who love to be touched and they seek it. Or they love smells and they'll seek out smells. So all of this, the theme is get to know the person. Don't worry so much about the autism or what it means to have autism or what the diagnosis is. Get to know the person. Do they want to be touched or do they not want to be touched? Do they like to talk about Pepsi or would they rather drink Coke? Just get to know them.
Every individual is an individual.
Absolutely.
You mentioned that by the age of 3, it's going to be noticeable or detectable by age of 3. But isn't one of the possible ways that someone could detect that autism may be present is a verbal child stops speaking, a 2-year-old who had words stops speaking. Is this something that develops? Is this a developmental disability that develops, or is it from birth?
It depends, again, on the individual. There's so much that's unknown with autism, and so much. This is an appropriate point for me to say I'm not a doctor. I'm the executive director of a nonprofit, so I can tell you, certainly in the research that I try to keep up with. Unfortunately, today, we don't really know what causes autism. It seems likely that it's a combination of genetic predisposition with environmental triggers. But where specifically all the genes are, we don't know. And what specifically the environmental triggers would be, we don't know. And what the combinations are, we don't know. It is clear that there are some children with autism who develop normally along normal patterns until a certain point, and then they what we call regress. But that is not true of all children with autism. It is true of some.
And so that's what makes detection kind of difficult for parents, because every child is an individual as well. And the kid who can't shut up at 2, that becomes quiet, or it could be a kid who just doesn't speak at all from birth until one day, hey, soup's too hot.
Yeah. And the thing with autism is, there's no medical test, right? So you can't prick a child's finger, take a blood test, and say they have autism. It's behavioral observation. So our advice to parents is always, if you have a concern, go to see your pediatrician. Just go. Because if there is something going on, we know that early intervention is key. If you want to get familiar with developmental signs, there is a great website from the CDC. It's called Learn the Signs, Act Early. And you can just Google Learn the Signs, Act Early. It's also available in Spanish. And that'll go through what normal developmental patterns look like for most children. At what age does eye contact occur? Smiling, walking, all of those things. Now, just because your child isn't following those patterns doesn't necessarily mean there's something wrong. And even if they are, it doesn't mean everything is necessarily right. If you have any concerns, go see your doctor. That's the best way to know.
How important is it to have a diagnosis of autism? Does it matter if you're older, if you have a kid who maybe is 12 or 13 or you're an adult? Is there any time that it's actually important to have that diagnosis?
So for children, at least in Delaware, the educational classification can be key because that's what connects you to services in the school. That's not the same as a medical diagnosis, and the educational classification is done by the school. But a medical diagnosis, whether for children or adults, can be very important because it helps you understand how the autism is affecting the individual and therefore what types of therapies or behavioral interventions might be most effective. So a good diagnosis isn't just going to say, oh, you have autism. It's going to say, here's how your autism affects you. Here are ways in which we believe therapies could help you. And so that's the important part. It's not really about the label at the end of the day. It's about determining, okay, what's going on that we can support and that we can help make better so that this person can have the most awesome life of which they're capable.
And have the most educational opportunities that they can get and for
Absolutely.
As long as possible.
And
as
independence,
well.
You know, increasing amounts of independence, increasing amounts of vocational involvement, community involvement, all of those things.
And this is Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, the Executive Director of Autism Delaware, Teresa Avery. If you'd like more information, look for them online at autismdelaware.org. That's autismdelaware.org. They do have, you have a couple of offices, right?
Yep. We have an office in Newark. It is at Harmony Road, kind of across from the Christiana Hospital. We have a drop-in office inside of Dover Downs. Dover Downs and Dover Motor Speedway are among our greatest supporters, and they actually donate space to us to have an office inside Dover Downs. So we have a little space there. And then we have a larger office in Lewis, down on the corner of Routes 9 and 1. So if you're down in Sussex County, you can come see us there.
And of course, if you'd like the CDC's website, again, just Google Learn the Signs Act Early. That's Learn the Signs Act Early. Now, I mentioned education and keeping somebody in education for as long as possible because when someone is in school, well, there's something to do. It's the time when you are out of the school system. And yeah, we all think about kids, but what about the adults? And I think I read a figure, and I might have been on a CDC website. It said that the average cost is $2 million spent for continuing care throughout the life of someone with autism. Now, obviously, that's an average, and somebody might be able to hold a job and have an apartment and the whole time, while someone else might need care for their entire lifetime.
Sure, and that, again, as you identify, that is very different from person to person because there are folks with autism who live completely independent lives, you know, that they have jobs and apartments and just like the rest of us.
Go to college?
Absolutely.
Get a job, continue
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. But then, you know, there are a lot of people with autism who are more severely affected by their autism and whose autism means for them that they're going to have a harder time being independent or that independence may not be an option for them. So, you know, that puts a ton of stress on the families because it really is, generally speaking, the family who's providing the place of residence and the day-to-day support. Now, in Delaware, I would say the majority of people who are more severely affected by their autism are going to probably have access to day programming, whether that's vocational support, supported employment, or what we call day habilitation. But for most people, they're going to be living at home with their families for the rest of their day. And so, of course, you know, families have a ton of stress around what that means for them, not just financially, but in the long run. You know, families aren't going to live forever. So, you know, we have a lot of parents and families in throughout the country, really, but in Delaware, who just, they get, basically, I can never get sick and I can never die. Because when that happens, if it happens, I don't know what's going to happen to my loved one. So that's one of the things in the state that we're just really trying to work on together as a community is how do we best support families and individuals.
And which is why Cookie Day is so important as well.
Absolutely.
And isn't it also true that if you have one child with autism, you are more likely to have a second child with autism as well?
Yes. Studies have shown that once you have a child with autism, the chances of a next child having autism are increased. It's not guaranteed, but it is definitely increased.
What is out there for a family who is facing this right now? Say, I just left the doctor's office and the doctor has said, yes, your child does have developmental issues here. And it mm-hmm. is it is going to be autism. What are the resources that are out there for a family? And I know most of them are because of you. So,
well, I you know, there's lots of resources in the community now. You know, there's lots of needs that we're trying to fill as a community, and it's certainly not just Autism Delaware. We're very proud to be part of the Delaware Network for Excellence in Autism, which includes NMORS, it includes the University of Delaware Center for Disability Studies, it includes the Department of Education, nonprofits like the Ability Network of Delaware and Family Voices, and the Division of Developmental Disability Services. So this is it's a community effort. My suggestion for a newly diagnosed family is that they call Autism Delaware, and here's why. We have a service we call Family Navigation. We have four folks across the state. Two of them are Spanish speaking. And you can ask them any question you have, even if it's, I just got diagnosed, now what? And they will help you find what resources are available and help you with your next steps. So that is one of the services that we provide to the community. Now, we don't provide all the services. You know, we don't educate kids. That's the public schools and charter schools and things. But we will help you try to figure out what your steps need to be to access what your child needs. So you can call us in Newark at 302-224-6020. Or at our Lewis office at 302-644-3410. Or you can go to our website, autismdelaware.org.
What about a family? Are there support groups out there? Are there respite? Is there respite help for someone who maybe is trapped? I can't get sick and I can't die, but what do they do during the week? And getting their kids out and in the community.
Yeah. So there are lots and lots of opportunities to get out in the community. Autism Delaware offers, we do about 220 social recreational training and support events throughout the year. Those range from weekly bowling in Newcastle County. We do train rides. We do horseback riding. We do support groups. We have a grandparent support group. We have groups for social groups for girls. It's called the Brave Girls Group. We have a social group for boys. You know, all kinds of things, and those are all available via our website and the events calendar. In terms of finding respite, there are resources. And respite becomes complicated because there are different ways to access it. It means different things to different people. So if folks are wanting respite or they're curious about respite, I would again suggest that you call one of our family navigators and they can help you understand how you might be able to access respite and what might be available for your family.
And for families who want to get their kids out, get them out with the same activities that other kids get to enjoy, museums and zoos. And you mentioned horseback riding and things like that. And I know that a lot of the baseball teams now, Special Olympics autism is one of the ways that you can get involved in Little League. Arts programs and other organizations, restaurants, et cetera, are they open to programming for kids that might need a little different experience?
Sure. There's lots and lots of things available. And again, you know, you can start with our website, and then there's lots of things even, you know, beyond our website. We try to share things via our email and Facebook pages as well. If we know something's going on in the community, whether we provide it or not, we try and share it that way. So just, you know, reach out to us via the website, Facebook, the Family Navigators to learn more. You mentioned Special Olympics, awesome organization with lots and lots of opportunities. There's lots of sensory-friendly opportunities at different sports events, theaters around Delaware. Some of the movie theaters do sensory-friendly evenings. There's this great organization called Art Therapy Express that does art classes for all sorts of people with different disabilities. There's dances. You know, there's lots of great opportunities to get out in the community. And those opportunities are wonderful chances for children and adults with autism to practice social skills, but perhaps even more importantly, for the family unit to get out and help reduce that sense of isolation that can come along with having a disability, increase the level of connection with other people who are going through a similar journey that your family may be. And so those things are really important, and they happen organically at these types of events.
As people grow up, they want jobs, they want social activities, et cetera. If I'm a business hearing this, are there programs for hiring that are specific to autism?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, we're most proud of our adult vocational program. It's a national model program. It's called POWER, or Productive Opportunities for Work and Recreation. POWER is an entirely community-based vocational program, and we work directly with businesses throughout Delaware. I believe we have 95 partner businesses today throughout the state. And we work with you so that as a business owner, you know, so most businesses will contact us to be part of POWER because they want to do something great for our community, which is awesome. I say the word awesome a lot. But at the same time, we find that we work with them in such a way that they're not only going to do something great for the community, they also end up with an employee who is pretty great. And what we do is we're there to support their employee, and then we fade back our support to the amount the individual is able to have that fading. And then if they need more support later, we come back. So we're there to support them and give them the level of independence of which they're capable in the job.
So this is a wonderful opportunity. If I'm a business hearing this, I should reach out to you, right?
Absolutely. Give us a call. The program's called POWER, and you can find us online at autismdelaware.org or at our Newark or Lewis offices.
Well, I don't have a business. How do I get involved? Are there volunteer opportunities? I know you got to be fundraising for all of this too.
Absolutely. We love volunteers, and April is the best time to become a volunteer during Autism Awareness Month. We need lots of volunteers at the Walk for Autism April 14th in Lewis and April 21st in Wilmington. We need volunteers at smaller events throughout the month. For example, we have Jersey Mike's Day of Giving on March 28th throughout Delaware. It's one of our awesome partners who helps support us. We have a track walk in Dover on May 5th. We're going to go out and walk that monster mile for autism. So we're going to need lots of volunteers for all these things. And again, you can just call our Newark or Lewis offices, or you can email volunteers@delautism.org.
And all of that information is available on your website.
Absolutely.
What else will I find at your website? And what if I am hearing this and I am in Pennsylvania, or I'm in Jersey, or I'm in Florida, which I alluded to?
Okay. Well, our family navigation service, I have to say, we are most knowledgeable about what's available in the state of Delaware. So if you're needing family navigation, you probably want to Google your own state's resources. So if you're in Pennsylvania, you can Google Autism in Pennsylvania, and there are some resources that'll come up there. If you live close to the Delaware borders and you're looking for social recreational opportunities or support groups, look, we don't check your diagnosis or your state citizenship at the door. We welcome everybody, and we'd love to have you.
Well, we are we're running out of time, if you can believe that. It goes so fast. What are your parting words, or what would you like to leave us with?
I would love to leave you with just a reminder that April is Autism Awareness Month. It is a great time to get in the know about autism. Please come out and volunteer. Just come out and see the walk. Even if you don't want to walk, even if you don't want to volunteer, just come out and hang with us for a couple hours at one of the walks and enjoy the community, enjoy the families. And the best thing that you can do for families and individuals with autism is just get to know them as families and as individuals. Be patient, be kind, be understanding, and just treat them with respect and individuality. And I think that's a great way for all of us to kind of go through life, withhold judgment, and see people as individuals.
No, lovely words. And of course, if you are interested, the Walk for Autism, Saturday, April 14th, Cape Henelopen.
Yes.
I got it. Cape Henelopen State Park in Lewis, and April 21st at Fox Point State Park in Wilmington. And information about both of these is available at the website. Sign in is at 9, and they start off at 11. And if you raise just $50, you're going to get a t-shirt no matter what. You're going to have an awesome time there, a lot of fun. And again, you'll find more information about that at their website, which is easy, autismdelaware.org. Its executive director, Teresa Avery's been my guest today. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Laura. It was great to be here.
Always a pleasure to sit across from you. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Philadelphia Focus.